everybody. How you doing? Well, I guess it might not be morning for some of you, but it's definitely morning for me here. I'm watching the sun come up on a beautiful, beautiful day here in Margaree Valley. So before we jumped into this podcast, just going to rhyme off some things off the top of my head, not keep you too long. We have our glamping preseason sale, which is on until the end of March. It's the last week or so of taking advantage of the sale. So if you're looking to come down to Margaree and hang out and go tubing or go fishing or go paddleboarding, or now we've got canoes or pack rafts coming in. If you want to get some of those, head over to the website. You can book, you can add in any extra stuff later on down the road. Other than that, we're getting ready to launch some of our multi-day trips for the year. I've just been juggling a lot of things in the last 2 weeks to try to get things up and running. So we spoke on it in last week's podcast. I had a lot of people DM and reach out about specifically the Margaree River one. That one is going to be a blast. So if you're interested in on it, I'm hoping to have stuff up within the week. So if you're listening to this podcast, hopefully before the end of March, I'll have it up on the website. These are small group trips, and we're going to be ending at the Bite House for a private dinner in Bedeque, which doesn't happen anymore. So we've partnered up with the Bite House on that one. So very excited about these things for the summer. Other than that, there's a deal on for June. So if anybody's coming down in June, you book two nights and you get a third for free. So essentially you book three nights and discounts it by one night. Just really trying to build out the June, because June is always an awesome month here in Margaree. Mostly, like, I'm on the river a lot fishing in June because it's a lot of free time. But yeah, anyways, I'm not going to keep you too long. This podcast, we sat down with Denis Thibault, who is a good friend of mine. We met about a year ago. You'll find out how we met, and he joined us on Kedgy and literally just taught us all the proper paddling techniques, which I had never been taught in my whole life. So we had a great time. We were, had paddled on a river out near Lewisburg a couple hours before, came back to his place, sat down in his kitchen, and got to it. So without further ado, this is Denis Thibault, Living Life Intently, at Live Life Intense on all social channels. Anyways, peace out. We'll see you next week. Cheers. What's up, everybody? How you doing? We're back with another episode of Living Life Intently. I'm your host, Lee Frazier, and I'm here with Mr.
Jonathan Canary.
Right? I was trying to get him going here, folks. Anyways, it's not working. He's not taking the bait. We are in Sydney.
And I was watching how sexually you pushed that coffee down.
It is. It is a very French press. It is a very sexual French press. Sorry for those of you that are listening that are trying to wonder what we're pressing to make our coffee. We're sitting in here in Sydney with Denis Thibault. Right? Did I say that correctly?
You got it. Denis Thibault. French Denis.
Yep. French Denis. Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
That's right.
French Denis. Denis and I met last year. He helped us out with a canoe, which we kind of maybe hurt a little bit.
Destroyed. You wrote it off.
And since then, he's joined us on a couple trips, and we're in Sydney, and leading up to this podcast, he texts me, and he's like, hi. What do you think about running a river before we do the podcast? So that's what we did. Why don't you tell them who you are and what we just did?
Yeah. So my name's Denis Thibault. I'm pretty new. I'm from Way in Cape Breton. And my girlfriend and I, we moved here last summer with a trailer load of canoes and a sense of adventure. We're in a pretty amazing place.
Right.
So I've been looking at every single blue line on the map, trying to figure out like where we can go paddling in Unamagi and Cape Breton. And it's all rain dependent. So I looked at the forecast, and it's like, it's supposed to rain on Friday. So I was like, Lee, let's go paddling. Canary, let's go paddling. Insert a bunch of other names out here. Let's go paddling. Did the rain come? No. So we had a little bump of grind today.
It was still
a good time.
It was all right. Yeah. AJ and I got along fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another guy that joined us was AJ Fraser, who had done a podcast last year. So if you want to scroll back and listen to that, AJ had
callback.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. So AJ, if you haven't listened to that podcast, him and a buddy of his, Ben Fury, kayaked around Cape Breton Island 10 years ago. So we talked about, there was called Expedition Cape Breton.
But today, AJ and I were in a canoe. Denis was in a kayak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you were on a Sea Cow paddleboard.
Correctamundo.
Yeah, it was a good run. I really like that country. Yeah. It's really pretty.
And it's pretty beautiful down that way. It's a little wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, a little bony, but whatever. I mean, that's what you're going to get on a lot of the places here in Cape Breton. And then, like, even the Marguerite gets like that in the summertime. So that's kind of what, like, August, September looks like on the majority of, like, the upper river. But
we didn't leave a lot of green paint today. A little bit of green paint. Not a lot, though.
The boats are made for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you, so last year when we met, you had just moved here, and you moved in from Ontario, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and previously, you were a guide out in Western Canada.
Yeah, correct? So I actually did my degree in ecotourism and outdoor leadership in Calgary at Mount Royal University, and then in that time, I was a whitewater raft guide on the Kananaskis River, so that was a really great time. And I've also lived and worked in the Arctic and New Zealand and kind of all over. So, lots of adventures and lots of good people all over the place.
Yeah. And how'd you get started in doing all that stuff? And what was your favorite place of all?
Favorite place of
for like all. Adventures.
I'd have to say, favorite place of all in the Arctic. There's very, very high tides in some areas. So similar to like Bay of Fundy kind of tides.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you've got these amazing river systems with waterfalls that flow into the ocean, and then the tides rise and the waterfalls go upstream. Like they change from like 20-foot waterfalls to 4-foot rapids going upstream.
Crazy.
And one of those spots is Sylvie Grinnell Falls. Another one is Reversing Falls. So that's in Kimmerut and in Iqaluit. And those are probably my two favorite places. Like you could just sit there for 6 or 12 hours and just watch the water change and the lighting adjust. And it's just beautiful. Like it makes me wish I was an artist.
Cool.
Wow. Crazy. Makes me want to go up there now.
You were an artist of the river, Denis.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, Darcy. You can take a picture.
Hey, what's up? What's up? So full disclosure, we're in his kitchen with his three dogs running around and his partner Darcy showed up. Hey, what's up? No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. So, but what has your, since you've been on the island, what's been kind of your favorite thing you've been able to do thus far? But I mean, you haven't been here a year, right? You have
not yet. No. June, it'll be a year. Yeah. Yep. So we've actually managed to fit quite a bit of adventures in. I think our favorite spot is probably heading out towards Belfry Lake. We did a little canoe trip out there, like in the Bearshaw ponds or whatever. I don't know if that's the word that's used around here for like a pond beside the ocean. And it was cool because we were able to let the dogs loose, and I've never seen my husky so happy. I swear he's like an ocean baby.
Right.
Yeah. He loves it. And he like, you know, we let him loose and he's happy in other places, but by the ocean, he comes back.
No shit.
He's so happy. He doesn't run away. And that's exceptional.
That's cool.
And he likes salt. How stinky does his coat get after salt water, though?
You can give him a whiff right now, and that's just normal. He smells pretty bad.
Fair enough. I just always thinking, I'm like, oh, man, that coat in the salt water and in the summer and everything else. I'm like, oh, buddy, it would just be like humming.
Yeah.
But back to Kedji.
We didn't even talk to Kedji, did we?
Not yet.
No, you and I were in a canoe together.
We were. You did awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, how did AJ judge you today?
Pretty good.
Okay, because I said to AJ, it's like, hey, AJ, if Canary sucks, it's my fault because I'm the one that taught him.
Yeah. Well, when we went to go there, Lee was like, hey, you want to come on this Kedji trip and we do this, all this media stuff and blah, blah, blah? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, you ever been in a canoe before? I'm like, nope.
Just to preface this, isn't like a normal canoe trip. It was like hoofing down some crazy grade 2, grade 3 whitewater. With like hardly any water. It was like shuffling the canoes, jumping. It was more like bobsledding in a desert. Like it was just that kind of force and effort that we needed to take to get down this water.
Yeah. So for people listening that are kind of trying to clue in, we are talking about a trip we did at Kejimkujik last year. Just the preface for people that probably aren't aware. And Denis was, you know, when we met last summer, when you moved here last year, you graciously lend us a canoe. It was originally supposed to be a different one, a Kevlar one, right? And you're
yeah, I was thinking either a Kevlar or a good Royal X canoe. My COVID addiction had become canoe repairs, and so when I met Lee, I said, "Hey, you should borrow a canoe. I'm new to the island. I want to make friends. This is a good way to force friends." and then Lee came over to where I was staying. I was like, "Here, this is a good one." He's like, "Oh no, that looks really nice. I don't want a nice canoe. Okay, well, what about this one? Yeah, that's still too nice."
Where's your shittiest one?
Yeah. That's exactly what he said. It was like, okay, well, you're going like up into the highlands doing whitewater. You need to take my whitewater boat. It's the one I trust. It's the one I love. And then as soon as I said it's my favorite boat, you could see he was disinterested again. He's like, no, I can't take your favorite boat. I can't take your good boat. I can't take any of those boats.
Give me your shittiest boat.
What's that one? And he points and I'm like, oh, no. That one's not ready.
That's the one we're taking then.
Yeah. It was missing a seat.
Which you custom made a new seat for, by the way.
Yeah, that one, we tackled that the day before the trip. So I was like, oh, don't worry about that. Classic. I'll put a new seat on it. That's not a problem. Yeah. But yeah, it was more or less because I sort of knew what we were going to get into on that trip. And yeah, that one was already, you had repaired the sides and it was kind of already delaminating a little
bit. Yeah, so
right?
It was delaminating between the, imagine like plastic, foam, plastic, all like laminated together. And it was delaminating a couple spots or some bubbles in it. So I was kind of carving those out and filling them with fancy epoxy and trying to get it all sorted. So it wasn't ready. So it was kind of like, I shouldn't have let that boat out.
I made it. So
yeah, I made it. And nobody got hurt.
No, not really.
Yeah. The important stuff matters.
So, but yeah, I mean that one. And then we're doing Kedji, I just said, yeah, why don't you just jump on this one and come with us? So, I'm a big, into the fire type of guy. So as you can probably tell, I take people on trips that, you know, I'm just like, I know you can do it. It's going to be challenging.
Ability versus skill. Right.
Yeah.
And so I was really grateful that you were sterning our canoe. Because you're a very good teacher.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, your communication skills on the water especially are really, really good. So, for me, as
I think
somebody,
it's just I yelled really loud.
No, you were very, very precise and you taught me all the proper moves and, you know, and yeah, I really appreciate that. But we had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 8 days through recreating the Tent Dwellers route. So for those of you listening, it's a book that was written 100 years ago, or over 100 years ago, I think now, right? And called the Tent Dwellers, about this fishing trip that goes through Kejimkujik. It wasn't a national park then, but through Kejimkujik into the Tobiatic Wilderness area and then Lake Rosignol and back up. So yeah, that was a really, really fun trip. And most of us were very novice at canoes till this year, and then we did a lot of, you know,
Denise
water.
Schooled us.
Good students though, right? Like,
yeah, but I mean you had obviously a lot of experience in matter, and you did it. We talked a little bit, but how did you get your start in doing like guiding and doing,
honestly, the way you say about like just jumping into the fire, that's how I started, right? Like I had a Sevilor inflatable dinghy. My mom would drop me off at one part of a river. She had no idea that there was dams and weirs and whitewater and log jams and floods and all sorts of shopping carts and hazards that I was paddling through on my own. And I devoured whitewater books and kayaking books and that sort of thing. But it really was a baptism by fire. By all rights, I should have drowned when I was 13.
Yeah, me too. Or falling off a rock face or doing something like that. But
yeah. So, I mean, there's this, like, I'm a huge advocate of taking courses and building skills and all of that. But I don't want to miss adventures for fear of misadventure.
Yeah. 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 I just, you know, I have the similar feeling. It's just like the, you know, when we grew up here, there wasn't, or maybe I just wasn't aware that there was specific courses for certain things, right? So it wasn't really, we weren't educated on the, you know, when we used to take canoes and hit the spring freshets, we call them in Marguerite, when the snow is melting in the highlands and it's all white water and massive rapids and there's banks full of like driftwood and you get sucked under trees and all kinds of crazy shit. I mean, we would just bomb down that with like no life jackets on even. We would just be like barefoot in a pair of shorts and like bombing through all these rapids. But we had no clue what we were doing, but we just had fun and we didn't die doing it. But I had no clue that there was courses available to do any of this stuff. So that was a part of it, but that's how kind of we learned. So it's very hard for somebody that, you know, grew up doing all that sort of stuff, like hiking and everything, and then to go, well, I need to go get this course now. I know it's part of the process, but...
You and AJ met where?
AJ and I met at a Tim Hortons children's camp in Kananaskis, Alberta. We were both staff, so I was a whitewater raft guide, and he had been brought out by his friend who was a horse wrangler, and he was a camp counselor, I guess. Cool. And the funny thing is that, like, we ended up moving in together in Calgary as roommates, housemates, and then we've been friends like over 15 years.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
And then he was your connection back here, was it?
When you, yeah, totally. So in 2007, I went and guided a winter in Newfoundland.
Yep.
And I decided, okay, well, I've never been to Nova Scotia, so I'll book my flights home to Alberta through Halifax. So that involved the ferry and the DRL bus, which existed back then, with the whole goal of coming and hanging out and visiting AJ and seeing Cape Breton and the land that he loves. And that was my first time here, and I've been back many times since, and now I'm a resident. Now we live here.
And you, what was the purpose of moving back to, why did you move? It wasn't for the whitewater here, right? No, I'm guessing not.
No. You know what? There isn't one reason. Like Darcy and I were exploring the idea of moving out east, so she's always dreamed of living out this way and is a big fan of Celtic and Gaelic culture and travel and all of those things, and adventure, of course.
Yeah.
And I had been out here several times before. We'd visited, I'd visited AJ a bunch of times and gone to Celtic Colors and, gone to all sorts of other, you know, things and events and weddings and reasons to come back and so on. And so when we were discussing, like, where did we want to start our lives together? Where did we want to, like, you know, buy a house and, you know, hopefully start a family and that sort of thing. We kind of looked at each other and were like, well, you know what? Let's go east. Let's try the East Coast, because why not?
Awesome.
We both love it. Let's go that way. And I kid you not, within 45 minutes of us making that decision, I went back to my house to have coffee, because I loved coffee with my housemate. And AJ had sent me this text of a job posting. And it was the Explore the Brador coordinator position. He was like, dude, this, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but this job is you. You need to apply for this. And then I reached out to him. I was like, how did you know? Like, like 40 minutes ago, crazy. We decided we wanted to move to Cape Breton. How did you know?
Capers know, man.
Yeah.
So tell us about Explore the Brador.
Okay, so Explore the Brador is going into its second year. We're pretty excited about that we got our funding, like, approved. It's a collaboration of a whole bunch of amazing organizations around the Brador Lake, Biduba, as it's known in Mi'kmaq. And the whole idea is that, like, people around the world know about the Cape Breton Highlands, you know? Yeah. But it's not until their, like, third visit here or their seventh visit here, and people do come back, but it's not until they've come back over and over and over that they realize that the thing they keep driving past is the heart of the island.
That's right.
Right? Like, that's when they have friends on boats that invite them in and they go out, I don't know, fishing, or they go out just sailing, or they go out whatever. Like, the Brador Lakes is a world-class destination that people miss, that people drive right past. It's like, it's so world class. It's a United Nations Biosphere Reserve. There's only two inland saltwater seas in the world that have that designation, and this is the biggest one.
Wow.
So it is unique in the world. And so a whole bunch of organizations, Collaborative Environmental Planning Initiative, Oceans North, the Biosphere Reserve Association, all four counties involved, and a whole bunch of other amazing partners got together, and they were like, you know what? We have a lot of cool things happening here. Let's tell people about them. So that's what they did. That's what Explore the Brador is.
And what sort of stuff were you tasked with kind of showcasing? And I think you were amalgamating a bunch of different things into, like, a calendar last time I talked to you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we launched our website and we created a 2-week calendar, the last week of July, first week of August. And we highlighted a whole bunch of things that were already going on. So, like, Theater Bedeck and Hike Nova Scotia Hikes and concerts at the Waikagama Waterfront Center, things like that, right? Yep. And then we were also able to create new partnerships and create other events. So Wagoba First Nation created the Sky River Welcome, where a bunch of people showed up and I brought my trailer load of canoes and we had a little adventure in the Sky River, which is beautiful. It's one of my favorite places. If anybody gets a chance, stop in Wagoba at the
really
Sky River.
It's beautiful there.
It's not signed, but it's between the bridge and the Tim Hortons. You can find it.
And what do you guys got going on this year? If you got second year funding, so you're that should be kicking up soon, right?
Yeah. So
is there anything you can tell us, or are you going to keep that kind of under wraps?
We've got a few projects on the go that involve a lot of stakeholders. So some things I'm not going to say because I want to make sure that we do cross our T's and dot our I's and and make sure that we're doing everything right. So a big part of Explore the Door is encouraging stewardship of the lake and making sure that we're caring for it.
Yep.
Right. So there's a whole bunch of, like I said, stakeholders. There's DFO, there's Inland Fisheries, there's Unimaki Institute of Natural Resources, there's CBU that has researchers involved on the lakes, there's Ocean Tracking Network. There's a whole bunch of stakeholders of people that really care about the Brador and are doing different projects.
Yep.
So some of the things that I want to do and that the steering committee wants to do, we just need to make sure that we chat with absolutely all the stakeholders to get everyone's input to make sure we're moving with our best foot forward.
Absolutely.
Some things that were big highlights last year, like in Iona, we had a really cool hike. It was more of a beach walk,
yeah.
But every, say, 200 or 300 meters, there was a specialist. Like we had a geologist on site. We had a naturalist on site. We had some knowledge keepers, and that was super cool because you could like walk 200 meters, chat with a geologist, learn about the geology of Cape Breton and Iona and how it's so similar to where the gales came from in Scotland or whatever the stories are.
Yeah.
And then walk another 200 meters and learn about like the saltwater roses, which are actually just regular roses. They're just extra awesome because they're saltwater and they're on Cape Breton. No, I didn't know that. So anyways, to answer your question, we're trying to repeat a lot of the same successful activities that we showcased last year and bring in some new and exciting things.
Cool.
Have you ever thought about doing like a big paddle festival?
Yeah. So, something,
or is that one of the ones you can't talk about?
No, that's on the radar. So
you can link it here. Nobody listens to
this. Atlantic Division Canoe and Kayak, Nova Scotia. I probably have the acronym wrong, but, they're in charge of like racing kayaks and racing canoes, like the stuff you see in the Olympics. They have great relationships with all of the communities around Cape Breton, and you wouldn't think about it. And they're a great partner. Their goal is butts in boats. I love it. You hang out with them and they're like, you know, I was a little like, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm not a racer. I'm not a marathon canoeer. I'm a get out and have fun. They're like, great, butts in boats. We love it. Yeah. So Robin from that organization is amazing. And they're great to partner with. And then different organizations in Eskizoni have their little waterfront there, between Goat Island and like where their Eskizoni Fish and Wildlife boat launch is. And there's almost always events going on there as far as like paddle boards or canoes or kayaks or that sort of thing. We also, last year we partnered with Budladek First Nation. We had a little community paddle there. So it's not planned yet, but I can almost guarantee there's going to be some sort of paddling event, and hopefully it'll be bigger than last year.
Yeah, I think it was like a big overlooked location. Like, I mean, most of everything that is done in tourism is related to the Highlands for the most part.
Absolutely.
Cabot Trail and stuff. But I mean, there is so much stuff. There's the lake, and then there's, or the lakes, Brewer Lakes. And then there's the other, I mean, even this side of the island and Lewisburg side and the, you know, down in, like Arishat, Ilmadam, surfing down there. It's been such a, like, last couple of years have been more of a kind of a push to send people down there, a lot more time and money invested into marketing for that area. But I think, yeah, there's so much stuff to do. It's just like, you know, you just got to bring it to the forefront and make people aware that that's an option when they're here rather than just driving the Cabot Trail.
I know that like our highlight is adventure, but this destination really has something for everybody, right? Like it's got the culture, it's got the food, it's got the music, it's got everything.
Yeah.
So no matter what your thing is, it's here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to ask you, I heard you may be starting a business.
There's rumors of that. Yeah, there's rumors of that. So one thing that I feel would be phenomenal for Cape Breton is the idea of pack rafting. Now, there's no Canadian pack rafting manufacturer. There's a few companies out west that have been gracious enough to chat with me that are launching pack raft companies and designing their own boats. And I'm hoping to do the same out here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that, you know, was brought to my attention. When we started doing the Marguerite, people were like, why don't you just take pack rafts? It's like, I don't even know what the fuck a pack raft is. What's a fuck a pack raft? Like, I mean, and then since then I've been like, oh yeah, that's a much better tool for that job.
Yeah. Super tough, super light, well-designed inflatable boats.
Yeah. Because who likes, you know, portage and canoe for 2 kilometers? Like, fuck.
Well, 2K is not bad.
2K is not bad, but when you get into 5K.
Man, it's like, yeah, why bring it? Just bring a, yeah. So.
No, it's totally made for that. Hiking and floating and river running.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out this spring. We're going to, you know, find out how tough they actually are. Because, yeah, we're going to run them. Yeah. Run them hard, baby. That's the plan. What are you on the island as far as, I guess, no, more or less what I was curious about. Instead of before we get in talking about stuff on the island, it was more or less about, you know, how do you, like, you feel like, or I feel like you get inspired and fired up quickly about paddling adventures. Like,
absolutely.
When it came to this trip that we did today, as soon as there was like a heavy rain in the forecast, you're like, yep, no, not podcast. We're going out for paddle first. Like, let's go do this first. So what inspires you to go out and constantly be like, you know, where do you get your ideas from? How do you start planning different routes out, and what inspires you to do so?
I think it's the woohoo factor. It's just the, like, you know, when you're on a river and you're having a good time, it's just immediate joy.
Yeah.
Right. And if you choose a medium that is accessible to you, that you can learn your skills and not get into too much trouble, or even if you do get into a little trouble, you can get out of it. It's super, super fun and a great way to experience the wild, or even like just experience water, right? Like, there's definitely inherent hazards, and it does take either luck or skill or a bit of both or experience. But there's something about it that's just, you feel it in your soul.
You gain experience through, you know, I mean, luck helps out with experience and, you know, that sort of stuff. Experience is only developed by doing X, right?
Yeah.
It's always about putting yourself beyond your comfort zone and really just pushing it. Like, you know, just trying to see what you can or what you are capable of. And then that's your new zero, right? You push yourself to a certain point and then you zero out there, and then you're just going to keep pushing. I mean, it can become a problem. So
the best metaphor I heard for luck versus experience, I think it was in like a base jumping documentary or something, one of those like Banff Film Fest movies. And it was like, when you're born, you have two jars, and one is full and one is empty. And the full one is labeled luck. And every time you do something stupid or fun or whatever, you take something like a handful of sand out of the luck jar and you put it in the experience jar. And eventually, you know, like, your experience jar gets pretty full, but your luck jar gets pretty low. So you're going to have to start using that brain of yours and making smart decisions. And we all have those moments. And so, like, today we were on the Catalone and I was saying, oh, it's grade one, two. It's a lot of good fun, but we still have those humbling moments. So, like, two, three weeks ago, Darcy and I headed out on the Catalone, and I convinced her to go out, and we didn't have airbags. I didn't wear my dry suit, like, a little complacent, you know. Yeah. It was a plus 10 day, and I was kind of like, oh no, I don't know. It seems like on the Google Maps, it looks like a swamp. Like, there's a couple little ripples. We'll be fine. And sure enough, we dumped and we pinned and we spent like an hour trying to like Zed drag our boat off these rocks, and you know, so that's another part about rivers, is they are very humbling, but we're okay.
Yeah.
We're like, we didn't drown. Nothing really bad happened.
Yeah.
We're okay. But I shouldn't have been relying on my luck jar that day.
That's right. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
It is a good one.
That, I think.
Yeah. I won't be able to articulate it the same way. I'll fuck it up every time. Like, we'll move forward. I'll try to say that, and I'll be like, they'll be like, Lee, just shut up.
Someone will be like, what are you talking about? We'll be like, you're going to have to go listen to the podcast.
And I wish I could tell you what documentary that was from, because it was brilliant. And I'm pretty sure it was about base jumpers. Like, I don't even imagine doing anything that extreme, but I have admiration for people that push themselves to that level.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to experience it, but it wouldn't be something that kind of drives me. It's like, for me, it's thinking up something, like using creativity. It's like, having that little boyish feeling or a little boy that's inside of you that's like, ooh, what if we did this? And then you think about it and you're like, no, what if we did this plus this? Oh, well, what's that adventure like? And then, you know, there was a quote that I think we referenced it before. Alex post from the trip to talking about trips and adventures. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned it last week.
Yep.
Alex was another guy, just made a comment on a post, and it said something like, there's a very clear distinction between a trip and an adventure, right? A trip, it's like plan, execute point A to point B, and an adventure is when you have to deal with, overcome obstacles along the way, right? That sort of stuff. So that drives me. It's like the creativity of, like, you know, seeing the weather come up and the rain, and it's like, oh, what if that? I know I bombed that, but that's going to be so much more fun with like an extra 20 mils of rain, right? And then just hitting it, and you're like, fuck yeah. Like, that's what drives me on this island. Specifically on this island, because I grew up on it, like the Margaree River. It's like, how many ways can you squeeze an adventure out of it? That's kind of how I look at it. Like, how can you one-up yourself every time to create a different experience?
Now, let me ask you, Denis.
Go ahead.
I will.
Good.
I will go ahead.
Calm down.
Have you done any guiding since you've been here? Are you doing any rentals of your gear? Like, I mean, you got a lot of canoes.
I do have a lot of canoes.
I'm surprised nobody stole them yet.
They're all in AJ's driveway.
Yeah, well, those ones are locked up. The other ones are tucked away, hidden in the backyard. So I've actually been teaching with the Outdoor Council of Canada in partnership with Hike Nova Scotia. So I've taught a few map and compass courses, and I just recently taught a winter field leader module out in Inverness. Mm-hmm. And then in a few weeks, I've got a field leader module I'm teaching in Sheta Camp. And then just through Explore the Bador and some of the local communities, I've kind of done like little like group rentals of our canoes. We launched a canoe rental company last summer, and we were like almost ready. And then I think our website was live for like 2 days, and we had a whole bunch of phone calls, and then it was like, oh no, I've been deferring insurance. I've been like saying like, yeah, let's rent canoes. Do you have liability insurance? Okay, cool. This is perfect. You know, doing all the paperwork through municipalities and organizations and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and I had to contact people and said, I'm so grateful that you reached out to us, but this is the situation. We've been renting canoes, deferring liability insurance through organizations. We're actually not ready to do individual rentals this summer. And so sorry, could you please accept a gift certificate for next summer? So right now I'm actually in conversations with insurance providers for rentals and then also for the retail sales. So pack rafts and canoes and
cool,
and that sort of thing. So it's a bit of a misadventure, but I'm glad we jumped into it.
Yeah.
And great. The few people that were hoping to rent canoes, they were super understanding. We're very, very grateful for them.
Awesome. Cool. I'm having a time. What's the one-eyed dog's name?
That's Willow. She's as old as the hills. She's deaf and blind.
I think you got to get Willow on a t-shirt.
Oh my God. We totally should.
Yeah.
Oh.
Little tongue sticking out, one eye.
Yeah. She's
yeah.
Missing pirate, all her teeth.
Dog. Little pirate. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. So maybe we'll include some information in the show notes or something like that on how people can get into touch. And
sure.
And you guys basing it all out of Sydney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
We can satellite at my place and you guys can run it all from that way. I don't have to deal
with
it.
That's an
inventory.
Option. Fuck it. Makes it easy for me.
Yeah. No, I'm just excited that there's more people coming to this island and meeting people like you along the way, because it's you know, we grew up here just with a close-knit group of friends and didn't really know, you know, many other people that were interested in doing a lot of this stuff. And now, you know, a lot of my friends are all have families, and whenever I do the call out, that's why Canary's on the trips, even pushing him through the ropes. so far. But yeah, a lot of my friends are all either gone at West, families, full-time positions, jobs, that sort of stuff. So it's very hard for people to be able to leave and go on a weekend or like 4 or 5 day trip. So yeah, that's why we have a pretty good crew now of people that come out on trips. But and it's always fun seeing people, pushing people beyond what they thought was possible.
Yeah.
That's kind of the magic of it, right? Like it's good to have fun for yourself. And you were talking about, like, how do you get more new experiences out of the Margaree River? And that's something that somebody told me a long time ago, is like, if it's the same trip that you're doing over and over and over again, it's not, because it's a different time. You're a different person, and the people you're with, it could be their first time. So that beauty of like seeing the same thing through fresh eyes is really cool.
Yeah. There was a quote that, when we were filming, a couple years ago, we were filming this documentary. And when we were sitting down interviewing, Jimmy Peterson, who's a fly fishing guide in Shetty Camp, he was talking about, there's a part, and I think I'm pretty sure I included it in the film. And I edited that piece, so it's like kind of burned into my head because I listened to it probably 800 times. But he's talking about how, you know, in his, he's fished and fly fished since he was a kid, since he was a little kid. And so he's caught X amount of fish. So that experience of catching a fish is not as exciting as it once was. But through teaching people and taking them and having them experience catching, you know, teaching them how to cast, them catching a fish for the first time, he gets to experience that experience through them. And he's like, that's what I love doing about it, because I get to take people and show them a skill. They catch a fish. I experience what it felt like the first time through the excitement of somebody else doing it. And it's kind of like the same deal with, since the last couple of years, guiding people and taking people on these trips. You know, a lot of the people that we took last year on the Margaree, were people that lived close by, but had never explored that river at all. And just seeing kind of like their experience and them having fun doing it and talking mm-hmm. to them about it, that was very rewarding on my end. And then going to Kedjee with all you guys, none of us had been there.
Yeah.
And everybody exploring Kedjee for the first time. Yeah, doing that trip. And I remember, Ashley Moffitt, who, was one of the parks.
Nope. Not allowed to say that.
Oh, she wasn't one. Ash, who came along with us, she,
Ash, we had Ash 1 and Ash 2.
Yeah. That's so right. It's, you know, who knows which one it was.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, she was saying that there was people at the parks or at people around Kedjee that were involved with like doing a lot of backcountry, and they're like, what route are you guys doing? $10, and you're planning to do what? No, you, that's not, you can't do that.
No, that'll take you 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, well,
even
we only have 6 days, so
oh, we made it work,
dude. We had I remember running. So when you leave Kedjee, we were going down the Shelburne,
yep.
And everybody's like, Indian Falls, Indian Falls, Indian Falls. So when I'm looking at a map and I see a falls, I'm like, shit, I'm thinking a Cape Breton falls. Like, we're going to hit like Egypt Falls on this river. Like, that's what we're going to hit. And I remember being in the canoe and I was with Alec, and I was like, Alec, look up on your watch, see if we're getting close. And he's like, yeah, it's summer's coming up. It's summer's coming up. And then we like run a couple sets of rapids and he goes, I think we just ran the falls. And I was like, really? And then we looked on GPS, and sure enough, we ran the falls. I'm like, that's the falls?
And like, I don't know if they do that to like, to deter people from running the rapid, or if it's just like, it maybe was once a feature. And
I think it's also a matter of perspective. Like, we had, you know, modern gear and plastic boats and all that wonderful stuff, not birch bark boats.
That's right.
On a fishing expedition with bags of flour as our food.
That's true. That is true. But the other one was, what was it? Loon Lake Falls? Yeah, that's the one you were running the rapids on.
Oh, yeah. When I was trying to
solo it,
figure out how to pull the canoe upstream. That is so much harder than it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that was a fun rip. Real fun rip.
Yeah.
But as far as being on this island, what are some things, I guess, that you're excited about doing or exploring? Like, is there anything that stands out in your mind that you're like, this is what I want to do first? Like, or that's something that I'm trying to get to do, whatever. Just talk over me, please.
So one thing that we've kind of been getting big into is fat biking. And the cool thing about fat bikes is they're low gear, big wide tires. And so it's not that like mountain bike, super fast, fun kind of venture. It's the I can go anywhere kind of idea. Yep. You know, whether it's sandy beaches or snowy pack trails or snowmobile trails or that sort of thing. And I hear about adventures like your guys' adventure, you know, across the top of the Highlands widthwise.
Yep.
Yeah, widthwise, yep.
And then, so I kind of wonder, like, well, there's all those snowmobile trails. What if I just, like, fat bike from Bedeck to the top? Like, crossing the Highlands lengthwise.
Yeah.
Could.
You could do it.
I don't know.
100% could do it. Yeah. I mean, you might hit some, I don't know how. So I've never ridden a fat bike, so I don't really know what the terrain you can get through. I mean, most of it you'd be able to do if you got back, because they groom most of it, right?
So, oh, okay, so that'd be nice.
Like Fielding Road, heading over to Hunter's Mountain and stuff, a lot of that is groomed. And then once you get past, I think once you hit up towards like
past the flowage.
Shit, yeah, summer's up there, then when it turns off, then then it's not groomed. So that's when you'd be into, you'd have to be going when there's some fresh trails, not when there's drifts, like 6 foot high drifts, some powder. You'd be working a little hard to get through the hole.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
I mean, you can do it. I mean, anything can be done, really.
It'd be more like hike a bike or hoof a bike once you got into the park.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did Rec Cove? Oh, Dave Green did Rec Cove to Shetty Camp the other year, skied it. Yeah, but that's not fat bike. But yeah, so, but he pretty much ran all snowmobile trails the whole way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said it was a pretty well, I mean, that whole route, Rec Cove is the main vein down to Fielding Road and stuff. So you'd get a lot of snowmobiles that way. But yeah, you definitely could do it. There was a guy that was, when we left on the Highland trip, they had messaged me to get a shuttle sorted from Bedeck to Meat Cove. And they were leaving on an 8-day trip from Meat Cove to Bedeck.
Oh, wow. So that's
ski trip.
Yeah, and, that's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah. So they were going, like, Meat Cove, I think they're going down and then through, like, up through Pulch Cove and then down across the park and then down to Bedeck. But I don't think they had a stove malfunction, the stove broke, and then they called it quits. Something like that.
You got any river sections you're excited about?
I've been doing a lot of back road driving over the last 8 or 9 months we've been here. And Grand River Falls looks runnable. You know, maybe with the right people and the right equipment and safety lined up and right flow, it looks runnable.
Is it like a proper falls or is it?
It's like a series of cascades beside a fish ladder, and it's pretty big.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Springtime. Let's go. When it floods, rock and roll, baby.
You know, I've heard some people mention that they've always wanted to run Indian Brook.
Okay.
And that's the Grand Falls is on that, or Indian Brook Falls is on that.
That's the one where you kind of have to swim to get into?
Have to swim to get up into it. Yeah. There is a trail to get up there, but the fun way is to like take a trail and then you swim a section of the river to get up to the waterfall. And, it's so beautiful, but you wouldn't be able to run a canoe over it.
Yeah.
But
that's, so there's like Tarbet Vale, the Bearshaw River, and then Indian Brook. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to take a look at that. Cause I know the Bearshaw River, I see all the boulders and the like elevation drop and that kind of makes me look and wonder.
So you could raft Indian Brook Falls.
Yeah, well,
for sure.
Yeah, well, Indian Brook starts pretty much like when you're going up to, it's in the middle of the Highlands, right? They all feed pretty much from the same area.
Yeah.
But that one, there was enough when we were in the fall, there was enough water when you pass over it. So when you go Fielding Road towards the flowage, it's kind of, you kind of drive over it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can definitely go from way up in the Highlands all the way down. Mm-hmm. It'll take some. Though I would imagine you'd probably go with a lot of ropes and rappelling gear and stuff, and then it'd be a fun trip. I mean, you'd be able to go down. Which one's the Bearshaw?
So there's the Tarbet Vale Road, and then where it kind of comes back a little tighter to the highway, that's the Bearshaw River.
Okay.
Yeah. Like not far from the cold spot.
Yeah. That's a cool spot, eh?
Yeah.
Right?
The cold spot. Oh, the little kind of dip cold in Tarbet.
Well, the cold spot is, I actually...
the blog post, yeah.
Yeah, and one of those blog posts I submitted to you, we talked about the cold spot. It was used as it's a small little cave that was used as a refrigerator up until the 60s by a local family. It's if you go there in, you know, May or June, July and August, it's still really cold, but there's no ice in it. But even in June, there is ice in this little cave. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
I was lucky enough to go to school with some people from Tarpon Vale. So in Calgary, I went to school with one crimp, and then she introduced me to her family. And so that was kind of my inside scoop on some local information, like the cold spot and the Bereshwah River.
There's a lot of people pan the Bereshwah.
Oh.
Still,
yeah. There was a few gold. There's one gold deposit up there that was found and then it collapsed and was never recovered.
Interesting. I wonder how this past year's storms would have stirred anything up.
I'm not sure, but there are a lot of people that still go up there panning. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Indian Brook. Let's fucking do that one.
Let's put that on the front burner.
That's on
boys.
The list, baby. Yeah. Well, let's go. We're going to get these pack rafts in.
Yeah.
And then we'll hit up the Highlands in the spring when it's flowing and hit it up. But I mean, that's us pretty much for time for now. We get to move and record another one. But yeah, we're. Where can people find you? What can people do to get a hold of you for rentals and all that sort of stuff? Or are you even promoting that right now?
Not exactly promoting, but when we do, the canoe company is called Birch Canoe Works because Darcy's last name is Birch, so nice. It works out wonderfully. And our pack raft company is going to be called Rado Rafts. That's nice. The first time I will have said that publicly.
Rado Rafts. Ooh. Are you going to have like 80s neon retro colors?
Oh my God, we should.
Oh, buddy. Let's
yes.
Hot pink and electric purple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those old body glove suits.
Right.
With a hand on them.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Denis.
You came here. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks touché. For jumping on with
touché,
us, man.
Touché. Okay, man.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot. And we'll see you next week. Yep. We'll see you. Okay, fuck. Okay, well, sorry. I don't know. That was the most awkward sound off ever. Okay, peace out, folks. See you next week.